Broadcasting live here from Birmingham, Alabama, and this is Thursday, the 27th day of February in the year of our Lord, 2020, and we welcome you to Discussing the Truth broadcast. I am your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby, and our co-host, Minister Kelvin Pierce.
Amen.
Minister Milton Dudley is with us as well, and it is our prayer that God the Father, by Jesus Christ, his Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dan.
Well, praise the Lord, guys.
Praise the Lord.
It is good again to be here this afternoon. Praise God. Give
Amen.
God all the glory.
Amen.
We give God all the praise. Another day. This is the day the Lord has made.
Mm. Yes, he has.
And we truly will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We just played that Battle Hymn Republic. I was just trying to think. I just got through reading here last week. One of the abolitionists, wrote this song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think. I kind of forgot the name of the particular. Kevin, look it up in your phone right quick. Mm-hmm. I love it because it touches upon our lives and what we've gone through and our struggles. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. God is good. But it's so good to be here. Good to see you guys. Trust y'all had a good day today.
Amen. Blessed day, man.
Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen? Mm-hmm. Before we get started, though, let's ask Brother Milton to ask God's blessing upon the broadcast today.
Let's pray.
Bless you, Lord.
Oh, gracious Father. Lord, we thank you for you all in the midst of your people.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for we're led by your Holy Spirit as we discuss this truth of the faith of our founding fathers.
Yes, and yes Lord.
Lord, dealing with slavery, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you, and we pray that our listening ears out there everywhere, Lord, will receive your truth.
Yes, Lord.
And for each and every member here on this broadcast, Lord, we ask for the continued blessing and strength and health for them also.
Please, yes, Lord.
Father, thank we thank you, Father. You for us in Jesus'
name.
Praise
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise Amen. God. Faith of our fathers. Praise God. Amen.
William Steph.
Okay, we got some other information on him also, and we might touch upon it. We got so much that we're trying to cram into, these few broadcasters that we have on this particular subject. Faith mm-hmm. of our founding fathers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. And, I know that a lot of people, they wonder how we can perceive situations in the manner that we do, mm-hmm. I was explaining to a young lady this past week that, I understand that my views are quite different from most people's views.
Right.
And I tried to explain to her why it's like that. It's because I see things from a different angle altogether. Everything I see and try to rationalize comes from the standpoint of the mind of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, quite naturally, that's going to be a lot different mm-hmm. than the people that that don't know Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they think we kind of, fell out of a spaceship or something like that, with the way we perceive things and things that happen all around us today. But Christ has given us his mind. Christ has given us his perception of things. And therefore, we can only speak that which we
That's Amen. Right. That's
we
right.
know. Is
That's
that right?
right. That's
Amen.
It.
Amen. And they see abortion, they see homosexuality, they see all these things in a different manner altogether, even though they attend church.
That's right.
They go to some church yeah. somewhere, yeah. but their perception of these things is altogether different from mine. And all the thing I can say is the reason why is that I have a mind of Christ.
That's right.
And maybe they don't have the mind of Christ. Maybe they just got a churchology,
Pastor, you said it. They attend some church, but is it the church that Christ is building?
Okay,
see,
okay,
that,
okay.
That's a big difference. You know, mm-hmm. one of my, the last barbershop debacle I had.
You backed out of there, you said.
I had the bag out. Yeah. Guy made a statement, mm-hmm. when, and that's from the standpoint you just mentioned.
Right, right.
I'm explaining things from God's view, from the Word of God,
from the spiritual view.
And you know what he told me?
What he told you?
He said, "Well, Green, that's your truth."
Mm. That's your truth.
I said, no, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Period. But he was like, that's your truth. That may not be my truth.
Yes.
You know, and I just asked him a simple question. Okay, well, what if my truth is that it's okay for me to pull out a weapon and shoot you down right here? That would be wrong. Mm-hmm. I said, but that's my truth.
That's your truth.
Okay.
You know, so I said, I'm just saying that because you're going to stay in a rabbit hole.
Yes.
Dealing with individual truth.
Yes.
No, absolute.
But you know, us being Christians, and I know a lot of other people say we're Christian also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But why is it that we think so differently, though? Why is it that my thoughts seem to line up with the Word of God completely, what Christ says and how Christ feels, and yours seem to be from another standpoint altogether? What is the problem here? You know, I said, now you need to make sure that you know the Lord and the Lord lives in you, and that you're speaking forth that which He has given you, that which He speaks through you, instead of speaking as natural people.
But different people, Pastor, would say that.
Yeah.
You interpret it one way.
Well, that's what they do say. This is a matter of interpretation. Huh?
But see, Apostle Paul said, some have a form of godliness.
Okay.
But not with the power.
They deny the power. So when you deny the power, Christ is the power.
The truth.
You deny Christ and you deny the word of Christ,
That's right.
Is that scripture reveals scripture, though? So if you go from that one interpretation and go to different parts of the Bible where it's probably covered again, you'll see a contradiction. So somebody's wrong.
Somebody.
You know, interprets scripture.
Come, let us reason together. We can get to the truth.
Yeah. Right.
That we're both interpreted.
But then we, you know, like I say, I took a physical this week, and the lady sitting at the table, this is what her comment was. You know, and I know that the enemy likes to throw these comments at me because he know I'm gonna have a 1,000-year itch in a few minutes. You know, but she said, "Do you know that Trump had the audacity to tell Sotomayor and the old witch on the Gingbergs or whatever name, he had the audacity to tell them they need to recuse themselves from the court, and you know, she just left it like that." I said, "Now, why do people take things out of context?" She said, "Who do you think he is? He must think he a king or a ruler or somebody." I said, "Ma'am, did you hear the whole statement? Why he said they should recuse themselves from the court?" She said, "No, I didn't hear all that." I said, "Well, he said that as a reply to the statement they made that they can't see." Both of them said they can't see how anybody could vote for Trump. Mm. Now, what is the Supreme Court judge doing making decisions like that?
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
What, using your influence to encourage people to vote against the president? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. See, that's why he said it. But now, all they do is come with part of it.
Sound bites.
Yeah.
Sound bites. And it's what mainstream media feeds you.
That's
how they direct the Florida culture, with sound bites and things they...
Yeah, using the media. You're right.
Taken out of context.
You're right about that.
You know, because you got a whole voting population out there you can influence with a quick news break, a 5-second news break.
Right.
You know, it happens all the time.
But go ahead, Kevin.
It's also exposing their bias towards him on making laws.
Making laws.
Yeah. Any type of law.
And ruling.
No. That's what I mean.
Yeah. A Supreme Court judge should stay away from that kind of rhetoric like that, you know?
Their job is to uphold the Constitution, the law that's already
That's all. Yeah, very simple. Very simple. Not to make laws.
Yeah.
Not to endorse candidates.
Not to even give your opinion about situations.
But that's why he made the statement, for that kind of behavior, they need to recuse themselves.
Right.
And she said, "Who do you think he is telling somebody they need to recuse themselves?" But she didn't know the whole story.
Right.
And most people don't know the whole story.
Right.
And that's kind of sad. But we're looking at the faith of our Father. We continuing on. And Brother, I want to, you know, look a little bit at the abolitionists, you know, the white brothers and sisters that helped us along the way. Because I'm convinced that we just don't give credit to God for using, you know, even the white people for helping us, you know, to come through that period of slavery that we come through. We got to give credit where credit is what?
Due.
That's the Bible way right there. But we seem to lump all of the white people in one big bowl.
All of them racist. All of them, yeah.
All of them racist.
Got their foot on our necks and all this.
Yeah, right.
Actually, gentlemen, just look at us today as a people, as a culture. I'm talking about the black race.
Right,
Judging by how well, air quotes for the people who listening on air, we work together today.
Yes.
Could we have ever gotten out of slavery without the help of some of God first?
God first, yeah.
Without the help of some outside source that wasn't enslaved.
Right,
Could we have possibly done it?
Could not have.
But God, see, God always had a plan, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
And even, you know, when you mentioned that, I thought about Mom. She spoke at the church Sunday on Black History.
Okay.
I've even told the guys at the mission down there, Jimmy Hill, how in the time we were little kids coming up, Mom, in that time of racism and Ku Klux Klan, had good white folks.
Sure.
Martin Luther King. It was whites that marched with him and got beaten and killed.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. God had a plan. Both ways.
Yeah. In the midst of all that, there's still individuals of remnant that has a Christian view to help us.
And still today.
During slavery, during segregation, during all that.
Yeah. Still today.
But history has been revisited and changed, taught through our school systems.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's not heard about anymore. Mm-mm. You know, it's not heard about. It's only the bad and why. It's a perpetual excuse why you're in the shape you're in.
So the narrative seemed to keep us with that victimization mentality. Is
that's
that right?
That's it.
And you think it's playing like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's sad. But thank God, we see things from Christ's view.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's good thing about being a Christian. And I know we're at odds with a lot of people about most of all issues.
put true on that, Pastor.
True Christian. Okay. Yeah. Well,
everybody said they're a Christian now. We can tell.
That's right. They're not. And they can't. They don't have eyes to see.
Okay.
The Lord gives us eyes to see.
Amen.
And He opens our understanding that we can understand things that are not right on surface there.
Amen.
That you can easily reach out and touch. Is that right?
That's right.
That's the blessing of being a true believer.
True believer.
Kevin calls it discernment.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
God gives us a spirit of discernment.
Spirit of discernment.
Where we can separate truth from error.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. But that's John Wesley. Brother, I was just looking at a little John Wesley. John Wesley was a great preacher. He's supposedly, we know the Lord is the author of the church, but the Methodists, Wesley is one of the main founders of the right. But he was anti-slavery, hated slavery. With a passion. In 1743, Wesley said, "Give liberty to whom liberty is due, that is, to every child of man, to every partaker of human nature. Let none serve you but by his own act and deed, by his own voluntary
action.
You know, that's coming. He coming against slavery there, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Away with all whips, he says, right? All chains, all compulsion. Be gentle toward all men and see that you invariably do with everyone as you would he should do unto you. What is he doing? Echoing Jesus?
That's the golden rule.
That's it.
Wesley asked his followers to treat others the way they would wish to be treated. That's John Wesley, y'all.
Yeah.
The great John Wesley, one of the Wesley brothers. Wesley used the golden rule along with Enlightenment ideas regarding human equality as a justification for his opposition towards slavery. Spurred by William Wilberforce, another abolitionist, fight against the slave trade in England, Wesley and the British Methodists tried to influence American slaveholders about the evils of black enslavement before the American Revolution. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Wesley, who took a lawyer's position during the American Revolution, scoffed at ideas like natural rights, natural liberties, and the hypocrisy of Americans for believing that their institution was pure and blameless while still partaking in the slave trade. Mm. So you can see his mind on this, can you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was his mind. Let's go look over a little bit there. John Wesley despised slavery. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially the lack of freedom the slaves enjoyed. He believed that the dominion of one man over another and the cruelty slaveholders inflicted on slaves made a mockery of God's law.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. John Wesley set the tone early for the Methodist attitude toward slavery, and that's the Methodist Church started out. Now, but we know the Methodist Church, they
ooh,
split. They
on
split,
a slippery slope.
Ooh, man.
They split early during his time.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because you got some that are for and some that are against.
You said it earlier, mixed multitude, Pastor, everywhere.
Everywhere you look, you're going to find that mixed multitude, but all will claim they love the Lord, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But somebody is not being truthful here. Is that right?
You shall know them by their fruit.
You shall know, and their adherence to the word of God. If I show you plainly where God says this, if you're a true believer, you ought to line up with what God says. Amen?
That's right.
Not the way you feel, not the way the culture or society feel, but we stand solidly on what God says. That if you're a true Christian, let God be true, every man be a what?
Liar.
That's what the Bible says. But now, John Wesley, he was against slavery. We know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I thank God for the... let's look on down a little bit further. The Methodist Episcopal Church was built on the rejection of Calvinism. That's works of piety and sanctification through before God through Jesus Christ, work religion. Mm-hmm. Spiritual equality among people was a fundamental belief in the early Methodist Church, whether male, female, black, or white. Methodists embraced Galatians 3:28, which says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So slavery was antithetical to both the practical ideals of the new nation and the sole liberty of the Methodist Church. So the Methodist Church, they built this church on this foundation against slavery. And therefore, we had this great black. Look at the influence it had on Richard Allen, though.
Mm.
Huh? Richard Allen, brother. You know, that's why the African Methodist AME Church is the oldest church.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. African Methodist Episcopal Church. But who influenced him? Wesley influenced him. And the Methodist Church stand against slavery. Huh? Okay. And that caused him to gravitate toward the Lord, first of all. Because I really, from what I read about Allen, he was truly the same man.
Mm-hmm.
He was truly the same. I mean, I'm not a born again, y'all. Y'all know I'm born again.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I got to make the distinguish.
Right.
I got to do that, you know. But let's just a little bit here. Richard Allen was a minister, educator, writer, and the founder in 1816 of the African Methodist Episcopal AME Church, the first independent black denomination in the United States. He opened his first church in 1794 in Philadelphia. He was elected first bishop of AME Church. Allen had started as a Methodist preacher. Now, he was in the regular white churches now when it started now.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Allen had started a Methodist preacher, started as a Methodist preacher, but wanted to establish a black congregation independent of white control. So white was in control of the whether or not decision to allow blacks to come in. Blah, you know, so he wanted to have our own denomination. AME Church is the oldest denomination among the independent African-American churches. Look on down there. In 1786, Allen became a preacher at St. George Methodist Church in Philadelphia. That's the white congregation, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But was restricted to early morning services. Yeah,
that's white control.
Yeah. Right. As he attracted more black congregants, the church, vestry, the leaders voted to build a segregated gallery for the use of black. Too many blacks coming in.
Wait. But all that, that shows the heart of man as well. Because now you bring in schism into the body of Christ.
Yes. You separate.
You bring in schism into the body of Christ.
That's why it's denominations, period.
Right
because
now.
Of,
yeah.
That's why we got denominations, period.
Right now.
Right.
Because
now, he wouldn't have never had to break away.
That's right.
If he had truly, now they were almost persuaded.
Almost.
To give blacks first class citizenship. Yeah. You know, to believe that God can work through a black man
as he can
a white man.
That's okay. Right. Okay.
Almost. Huh? And I'm sure in that congregation that decided to build a separate area for the black up in the back of it, like, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were some that rejected that kind of idea.
I'm sure. See, that's what I'm saying. But, and we have to remember, too, the times we're talking about here.
18?
We're in the early 1800s. Yeah, 17, the late 18. 17, 17, early 1800s.
Right, right. That's true.
You know, so we know it was a different time then, but we're saying to bring awareness to what brought the separation, how we got to where we are today.
Right, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. But like I say, you had plenty of people there, I'm sure, that wanted to include everybody.
Yeah, bro, that stood with brotherhood. You are my brother. You are my sister. Right,
but as Kevin, somebody said, Milton, somebody said, it's like that in the church today.
Yeah.
We got people that stand firmly on the word of God.
That's right.
Thou shalt not kill. Abortion is murder.
Right.
Yeah. Huh?
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's
right.
Absolutely.
That baby in the womb has as much right
human
to be
right.
born.
That's right.
As anybody else.
Person.
Now, many of us in the church, we stand firmly on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But not all of us.
That's right.
That's right.
Not all of us.
And see, that's like what Kevin was saying. That's why you have so many different denominations.
Sure.
Because some want to compromise the word.
Compromise.
Instead of standing on the truth.
Okay. Lukewarmness. Would you call them lukewarm Christian?
Lukewarm Christian.
Huh? What did the Lord say he's going to do with lukewarm Christian, Kevin?
Spew them out their mouth.
So there's not a comfortable thing to have a lukewarm Christian in the church.
But
Jesus did, like I said a while ago, Jesus said, well, let the wheat and the tares grow. He knew we were going to have this battle.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But through Christ, we're more than what?
Conquerors.
Oh, glory to God. We're more than conquerors. We win, y'all.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We stand firm on the word of God. But now, it says here, he also attracted more blacks. So as he came in, they allowed him to come. He was a dynamic preacher, too.
Right. He drew blacks.
Great orator.
Yeah.
Great preacher. And he drew blacks, began to come in droves. And then the white folks that had a little schism in them, they began to get nervous.
Yeah.
You know, so they wanted to separate them. Is that right? Separate but equal, they say, y'all. Y'all believe that? Separate but equal. Okay. It says here, Absalom John also met the preacher, resented the white congregants, forcing them to a segregated section for worship and prayer. They decided to leave St. George to create independent worship for African Americans. This brought some opposition from the white church and the more established blacks of the community. Some white and blacks didn't want to separate, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whatever, we back there again. Different people, different minds, different opinion. But what matters is what the Lord says.
That's right.
See, that's what we got to keep on saying. What matters? We can all throw our opinion in there, but in the end, mm-hmm. we must come back to what the Lord says. And stand there. Mm. Don't move. Regardless, am I right about that?
That's right. Well, think of how much better it would be in all situations where you got relationships and people trying to congregate. I mean, whether it be in a marriage or a family dynamic or a church setting or a work environment, if we all follow the same thing, that one absolute,
there'll
never come a split.
Yeah, that's right.
There'll never come a split.
Right, that's right. But the influence, the whites that really love the Lord and help to bring blacks into full citizenship. Influence other blacks. And this is just one.
Yeah.
And I imagine some other was influenced also.
Yeah.
But how many more probably could have been influenced if more people had embraced them?
That's right.
Instead of causing them to have to, you know, recoil and think of starting another denomination. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, but he's one of my heroes also, brother. Y'all see anything else that you like? Let's go on a little further if you want to.
Okay.
If y'all don't see anything else there. It's some good stuff all through there. Got it? Okay, what you see?
One
thing
here.
What you see?
One thing here. It said here, this what you just read when they split from the church. Said they formed the Free African Society.
Yeah, okay.
A non-denominational mutual aid society.
Yes, yes.
Social justice. Way back then. Yeah. Way back then.
Mutual aid
society. Mutual aid society. That's that. Now you get outside of Christ's business.
Outside of the mission.
Yep.
The mission.
So this is nothing new we're seeing today.
No. It has exponentially increased in our days where most preachers are social.
Oh, wait a minute. Since you said that, look what they did.
What?
Which assisted fugitive slaves and new migrants of the city.
Slaves
do we not see this? Is this not the same thing today?
So the church is for the community. It's for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, it's for everybody.
The unsaved, yeah. Everybody.
And in the New Testament, Old Testament, then New Testament, the Lord said, I want you to make sure you make a difference between the clean and the unclean.
Right. Absolutely.
The holy. And absolutely. Draw the line. Draw the line absolutely. And make sure. Yeah. Don't lump everybody. Huh? You know, preachers preach to people today like everybody going to hell.
Everybody saved already.
Everybody saved. Yeah. No difference. That's no different. Yeah. That's not a pause in there every now and then. In order to partake of this prosperity that God gives us, you must be a child of God.
A reminder.
You must be saved. You must have given. Never say anything like that.
Disclaimer.
Right.
Disclaimer.
Qualified.
That's good.
And so everybody's going to heaven, and everybody's a child of God. Everybody is one of God's children. And, you know, that's the kind of gospel we're dealing with today.
Just like them like nails on a chalkboard every time you hear, we're all God's children.
And an audience, that is not true. True. God has a family. Jesus came together a family.
Man.
He came here to gather his family from his people. He's his sheep, he called them. And they're all everybody is not his sheep. There are plenty of goats out here on the sideline. Amen. And we just have to say it like that. But you know, another white brother, he's a little bit kind of militant though, brother, but he fought.
Take all kind, Pastor.
They hung him. They hung him, and I think a couple of his boys with him. He had about seven, eight boys, you know. John Brown himself. John Brown was born 1800 to an intensely religious Connecticut family. He tried many ways to earn a living in the 1830s, including farming, tanning, real estate speculation, but was largely unsuccessful. During this time, he married, eventually fathered 20 children.
Boy,
he was a bad
boy.
Who moved with him.
With the same woman?
From state to state.
Oh, that's good.
He raised to hate slavery. He was raised.
He raised the children to hate slavery. They raised, he fathered them 20 children who moved with him from state to state.
Uh-huh.
And he raised to hate slavery.
Okay.
He taught his children that.
Brown all became highly active in abolitionist cause, helping slaves escape to the North and joining political fight against the Fugitive Slave Act. One of the very small minority of white Americans who are willing to consider African Americans as their equal. For a time, Brown moved his family to a community of former slaves in upstate New York.
Wow. He living with them.
Living in the community.
You will know them by their fruit. Right.
John Brown. Y'all haven't heard of John Brown, have you, brother?
Yeah. Huh? He must have had a little black in him, man. He had 20 kids.
He and his wife adopted an African American child.
Yeah.
As his own. But we're in 1800 here. Y'all see this there?
Yeah.
As he lived among former slaves, he heard their stories. Brown's hatred of slavery grew increasingly bitter and militant.
Mm.
Now, old brother kind of crossed the line, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, that ain't God's way, was it? Okay. But in the early 1850s, Brown sent five of his sons to sell in Kansas. That's where the action took place. Y'all know about Kansas. Mm-hmm. Hoping to gain land and help the fight against slavery. 1854, he followed them there with a wagon load of weapons for the fight. Oh, boy, kind of awesome. Against pro-slavery forces. He didn't believe in turning the other cheek, did he?
Yeah, he had a Malcolm X type of mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now his relationship with the Lord was a little bit suspect, don't y'all think?
He
hated slavery, which was a good thing, right?
Yeah. What about the violence, though?
Was he motivated by the word of God, or was he just
motivated by himself.
Motivated by himself. Okay, by this time, open violence reigned and bleeding of Kansas. That's what they call bleeding Kansas. We got a lot of information on bleeding Kansas. Violence spread even to the U.S. Senate. In 1856, South Carolina Senator President Brooks used a cane to beat abolitionist Senator Charles Sumner into a coma.
Woo, man. On the Senate floor.
Good Lord Almighty. Right in the hall.
They're almost there now.
Just about there.
You're right, Tom.
You were just about right, my brother. That same month and year, a pro-slavery posse of 800 men attacked and pillaged the town of Lawrence, Kansas. We heard of Lawrence, Kansas. Yeah, we've seen movies on television about Lawrence, Kansas. The center of the abolitionist settlement. The governor's house was burned. Newspaper office smashed. Brown and his sons fought against this raid, angry that abolitionists did not fight back.
Mm.
They were turning the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
But Brown didn't believe in that kind of stuff. When he heard the news of the caning of Sumner, a witness recalled he became crazy. A few days later, in retaliation, Brown and five of his sons led an attack on a pro-slavery town in, that's an Indian name, okay, Potawatomi. They dragged five people from their beds and murdered them with
Man, Brown was something, man.
He was against slavery, but he didn't mind taking the lives of people
which we
know was not God's way.
Which was Paul's attitude.
So actually he done more harm for the cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than he did good.
Yeah, that was a Saul of that day.
Yeah.
Yes. Then the Harper Ferry thing, most of us know about that. That's where I think they killed him there. In 59, he became convinced that slavery could only be removed by violence. Mm-hmm. He hatched a plan to cap the U.S. government arsenal, the ammunition dump there in Harper Ferry, Virginia. Harper Ferry was a state-of-the-art facility for weapon production and research with a large stock of arms. Brown assumed that if he captured the arsenal, local abolitionist sympathizers and slaves would join him, and a general rebellion against slavery would spread throughout Virginia. October 56, he set out with a racially mixed group of 21 men to capture the arsenal. After a prolonged siege, Brown was captured, 10 of the men killed, including two of his sons, 5 escaped, and were never caught. Brown was what?
Hung.
Brown was hung, brother. Praise God. But now, Brown's impact on a lot of our black leaders today, let's see here. Look down at the bottom there. Let's see some of the impact there. Frederick Douglass, can y'all see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who refused to join Brown in the attack at Howard's Ferry, proposed in 1881 that Brown's act made him our noblest American hero. Ooh. Mm. That what Douglass said?
Yeah.
He was a hero. Okay.
Whites
with a few radical exceptions such as Eugene Debs and Mother Jones vilified Brown. Even the impressively detailed biography of Brown written in 1910 by staunch Oswald Garrison, grandson of founder, with Dubose. That was Black Dubose. We got Dubose here. Right. Now, look on down a little further. Brown's legacy was mostly laid aside during the early hopeful days of the modern civil rights movement. That's today. He was revived amidst the angrier, pessimistic black nationalists vogue of the late 1960s, when Malcolm X, H. Rap Brown, other held Brown as the only white American in history worthy of respect. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Now, this
because he was willing to be violent.
They held the same ideology.
The reason they held him at high esteem is because he was willing to be violent.
They had the same mind. Yeah.
And we know that violence beget violence. Plus, we know what our Lord says. If they hit you on one cheek, do what?
Turn the other.
You know, Brown, of course, his reason for killing was slavery. But if all the militant people in the 60s liked him because what? He was killing white folks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was killing white folks.
Yes. That's right. Others held Brown, John Brown, as the only white American in history worthy of respect. And this time, the esteem for Brown appeared among white radicals and liberals as well. Sometime racked with ambivalence, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but let's see. Go on down. There's something else that I saw that I read there. Okay, I can't see it here now. Let's go on over. We're going to leave Brown right now. We know that they hung him for sure and killed two or three of his boys. It's something else I saw. I didn't mark it, though. Going on over here, brother, let's look at O'Finley himself. How many have heard of Finley?
Robert Finley
here.
Yeah.
Okay, Robert Finley, he's a minister. He started the American Colonization Society organization dedicated to establishing colonies of a free slave in Africa, the Liberia, which is the all black country, they set aside for returning slaves leaving the United States. Y'all know about Liberia,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But now let's go down to William Lloyd Garrison. He was one of the. He had a newspaper. He was a newspaper man. Newspaper called The Liberator. Mm-hmm. The Liberator. William Lloyd Garrison published abolitionist newspaper called The Liberator. Started 1831 through 33. Helped found American Anti-Slavery Society. Members wanted immediate emancipation, freedom, and racial equality from African Americans for African Americans. Garrison later became president of this group. So you got a white guy. He a minister of the gospel that have stepped into. To print a newspaper, going over a little bit. We'll see a little bit. Here's a statement. I think I liked that statement. He made a statement. They say he was one of the most vocal and well-known abolitionists in the history of the United States. He was responsible for numerous speeches, newspapers, and writings against slavery. And most famous newspaper was The Liberator, of course, which he began up on arriving in Boston in 1831. Going on down. He says in a statement that I will be as harsh as truth and as uncompromising as justice. On this subject, I do not wish to think, speak, write with moderation. No, no. I am in earnest. I will not equivocate. I will not excuse. I will not retreat a single inch. I will be heard. Was he saying?
Mind made up.
Well,
straight up, ten toed down.
Well, that means he's willing to die for the cause, ain't he?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. So yeah. God has some people. My point is here, God has some people, white people.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. That were willing to give their lives. Amen. In order that blacks might be free. This is just a copy of his newspaper there that he wrote and published. Okay, you got something about Nat Turner here. Go back over there on that news. Okay, it says William Lloyd Garrison published the first Liberator in 1831. The radical tone of the paper was unprecedented because it labeled slaveholding a crime. Mm-hmm. And called for immediate abolition. Is that right? When the Nat Turner, I don't know about Nat Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Old boy was kind of violent too, wasn't he?
He was.
When Nat Turner Rebellion of 1831 escalated Southern fears of slave uprising, some Southern states passed laws making circulation of his newspaper, The Liberator, a crime and called for prosecution. Huh? Although he had distractors, Garrison quickly became a noted leader in the anti-slavery movement, helped launch the American Anti-Slavery Society in Philadelphia. Until he ceased publication in 65, Garrison employed the Liberator to advance militant anti-slavery view. So he's had some rhetoric in that paper. He especially opposed African colonization, as is shown in the article Immigration there. Okay, let's go on over. Here's a woman here, y'all. Y'all ever heard of Miss Harriet Beecher Stowe?
Harriet Stowe, yeah. Beecher Stowe.
I got the book. She wrote this book, Uncle Tom Cabin. Mm-hmm. I got the book on my shelf. Probably got two copies on my shelf. I hadn't read it in completely. It's been years since I read it. When I first found it, I read it because I heard that the book was about against slavery, the whole book. But it was next to the Bible. It became the best-selling book. I don't know what I got in this article here. Harriet Beecher Stowe was born in 1811 in Connecticut. The first 12 years of her life was spent in intellectual atmosphere of Lynchburg, which was a famous resort of ministers, judges, lawyers, and professional men of superior attainment. When about 12, she went to Hartford, where her sister Catherine had opened a school. While there, she was known as an absent-minded, moody young lady, odd in her manners and habits, but a fine scholar, though, y'all, excelling especially in the writings of composition. Okay, let's go on. Her father, let's read a little more. Her father assumed the president of Lane Theological Seminary. So her dad, a preacher, right? Mm-hmm. She followed her family. On the 5th of January, 86, she married Professor Kevin Stowe, a man of learning and distinction in Cincinnati. She came into contact with fugitive slaves. So was catapulted into international fame with the publication of Uncle Tom's Cabin in 1851. Following the publication of the book, she became a celebrity, speaking against slavery both in America and Europe. She wrote a key to Uncle Tom's Cabin. All right. Let's see what else. I saw something else here. I didn't mark much this time. Judge white audience to welcome escaped slaves, treat them with respect. Going on over. All right. Now, this is her family here. Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote the anti-slavery novel Uncle Tom's Cabin. International fame. It gained international fame and greatly stirred up support for the abolitionist movement. President Lincoln met. So she would live by the time of Lincoln, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did Lincoln last week there. President Lincoln met Harriet Beecher Stowe on December 2nd, 1862.
Think about this, Pastor.
What's that?
What's
that?
She wrote this book during a very hostile time.
Very hostile time.
Against slavery. And it was the second best-selling book of the 19th century after the Bible.
After the Bible.
So by I said that to say people purchasing that book or that much interest being in the subject she was writing on, had to tell you there were several people that thought slavery was wrong.
Sure. So we cannot lump all the white people
in one basket.
In one basket and say that all white people are bad.
We shouldn't do that with any people.
No, with we shouldn't, people, but we do.
We know the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And I mean, your color ain't got nothing to do with that.
We understand that.
So once we get past that, and like I say, it was an atrocious thing. Slavery was atrocious. But in my eyes,
yes,
there's some things going on in our communities today that are just as atrocious as slavery was.
We don't want to talk about that. We don't want
to
talk about that.
It has nothing to do with race.
Yes.
It has nothing to do, but it does have to do with the souls of man.
Sure does. Yeah. Sure does. Sure does.
And they're ushering them off in the hell every day.
Every day. Every day. No doubt about that.
What is the outrage about that?
Abortion is a perfect example.
A perfect example.
Oh, yes, it is.
A perfect example.
Yeah.
Bro.
Right. Look, it was left for others to speak of her interview with President Lincoln. Her daughter was told that when the president heard her name, he seized her hand saying, "Is this the little woman that made the Great War?" So she wasn't called the Confederate War, y'all, you know, because she stood so firm against slavery. In other words, you kicked up a lot of dust is what he was saying. Is that right?
Yeah.
Going on over a little further today. Let's go a little further here. Harriet Beecher Stowe was the daughter of famous New England minister Lyman Beecher. Her seven brothers were all ministers. Mm. Not only just ministers, all against slavery. Now, that's unique there.
Amen. Mm.
Her dad was, her brothers were, and they all preachers, y'all, of the gospel.
Right.
The most renowned of the brothers were Henry Ward Beecher, one of the most popular preachers in American in the middle 1800s here. Mm. And here's a statue here of him to highlight the evils of slavery. Henry Ward Beecher held simulated auctions in which his congregation donated money to buy freedom for real slaves.
Ain't that something?
Mm. Huh?
Even back then.
Yeah.
Way back then, when the atmosphere was toxic.
Yeah.
He put his life on the line.
Yeah.
He willing to die.
He brought, and I read somewhere else, he brought a...
Go ahead. I think it's on.
Brought a slave girl, a girl that was known, well-known slave girl in that town, into his church and sit her on the front pew.
Yes.
And took up a donation.
Yes.
In the church to buy her free.
And we talking about a big company. We ain't talking about no congregation of our size.
Man.
We talking about thousands of people.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Huh? So we go to the auctions. We the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually buy the people and say,
free.
Y'all can go.
Yeah. You're free.
Yeah,
free.
Man.
Ain't that amazing? That's what they did. They purchased
take up a collection.
And set them free.
Yeah.
Ain't God good?
Boy, that's something.
Man, we got...
He's
awesome. Our God is awesome.
The spiritual aspect.
In the midst of all this.
But here's what I think the driving force in the heart and minds of all these abolitionists is the fact that God has given every man the right to freedom.
Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Mm-hmm. See, that's they're trying to take freedom away from us today.
A God-given right.
It's a God-given right. I have the right to go to hell, and I got a right to go to heaven.
Amen.
But you got to let me make
that choice.
That choice.
Well, only you can. See, because you can put this body in bondage.
Yes.
You can put chains all over me, but you can't make me choose hell.
Yeah. Yes, but this is what that driving thought in their mindset was that freedom, God-given freedom. These people, you can't take people freedom away from them.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Huh? I think that's the worst thing that can happen. Communists, socialists, Marxists. All these things take freedoms.
Absolutely.
Right. Huh?
No liberty involved.
And we got candidates running for office right today. What they espousing? Taking away our freedoms.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Huh?
Absolutely. But they're doing it in the form of making your life better.
Better. Oh, wow.
By them controlling everything.
Right.
See, that's what we got to look at. They're controlling things that only you can decide for yourself.
Milton. One of the black brothers brought up a suggestion many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said. And I Paul Parrott and said it often myself. Listen to these guys. He said, now, us as a black people, we need to unite. We need to unite and leave a legacy for our black kids to show that our contributions are great in this country. Yes, we built the White House. We built our slave labor built most of the things in this country. Mm-hmm. But we need something. We need our own banks. We need our own this. We need our own that to show that we as a people can unite and bring our money together. And the question was asked, who gonna hold the money? If we bring all our money together, who gonna hold the money? Huh? In other words, if we decide that we gonna do something as a team of black people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm gonna contribute $10 a month, a week, every week out of my paycheck. Right. And we're gonna try to amass enough money where we can build a great building downtown Birmingham.
Yeah, man.
Huh? So the question is, who gonna hold the money?
Who gonna hold the money?
Huh? When it comes to trust, what I'm saying, what I'm saying is that trusting one another,
right?
That seems to be the
when we build this great legacy,
okay.
And we finally unite as a people,
yeah, okay.
And we leave our mark on this country and show what we done.
What the fire gonna do to it?
We already know. What I want to know is. What that got to do with what the Lord commanded
us to do? Nothing at all.
Tony outlook better than mine, because I say if it were to happen, it would have happened by now.
Yeah,
it's not gonna happen.
Well, it's not God's intention for it to happen.
But thing is this:
what's that?
Them very people who got these great ideas, and that's what most people.
Oh,
they got these great ideas and everything on what we should be doing.
Coming together and doing.
Well, just look at their individual life.
Right.
Well, see what they're doing towards the cause of leaving a legacy and raising their family and standing on truth.
So true unity gonna have to be sitting around Christ. Is that right?
That's the only way.
The only way.
Uh-huh.
When Pastor said that, I thought about this.
What's that?
The only way something like that could ever happen, it would have to be Christ. In other words, our people would never come together because we always looking for a handout.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Boy. Milton, you. Why you put us down like that, Mil?
We always looking for a handout.
It sounds like he's telling the truth, bro.
Huh?
We don't want to work and build. And
we talk. We know there are some exceptions to this. We know that ain't
everybody.
Everybody. We understand that. But look as a group.
Yeah.
Look at us as a group.
Well, okay. Take this for instance. Had most of our leaders during the last 50 years preach, you owe this. And
they still preaching somebody revelation.
Isn't that right? Most of our leaders.
Amen.
Yeah. That's all we've heard in the last 50 years is they owe you.
Yeah.
They owe you.
That's it.
They owe you. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's crazy for the simple fact. If y'all think about it, one of our presidential candidates right now today, and y'all know we getting ads all over the place. You can't turn the TV on without seeing ads now.
Oh, yeah.
But we have one who's a multi-billionaire.
Okay.
Who said automatically, unequivocally, if he were black, he know he wouldn't be in that position. Mm. How do you know that? How can you say that? Man. How can you dogmatically say that? But what is he doing? Pandering to the black vote.
Sure.
Black vote.
Know your fan butt about that. Look, Beecher here purchased the chains. Look what it says up here. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a picture of him in his pulpit. Y'all see that picture there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He purchased the chains that held abolitionist John Brown in prison.
Mm.
Even dragging the chain across the platform and stomping on them as he preached against slavery. That a change. Look at all the people. Was he really into it, brother?
Yes,
against it?
The Lord had to be with him.
But what he was against was you denied a human being the liberty and the freedom that God has given man.
Well, Pastor, look, Beecher supported the suffrage movement too, allowing women to vote, and defended Chinese immigration.
Right, so they were treated bad too. Now,
it wasn't just black. That the black man was treated so bad. Sounded to me like he was liberty for the human being,
which is God's given.
God given,
rights. Amen. That's what it was. 1,000 attended Beecher's enormous Plymouth Church in New York, including Lincoln. Lincoln attended the church, right?
Yeah.
Whitman and Mark Twain. Y'all ever heard of Mark Twain?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. All these guys attended the church. Is that right?
That's right.
So now it's not that the white people are bad, brothers. You know, it's not that all of them stood firmly against slavery. I would say that majority of them did not.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, we talking about our founders, y'all.
We talking about our founders. The majority of them did not. Is that right?
That's
but
right.
there was a group that stood firmly on the word of God. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're talking about, word of God, standing on God's word and not being swayed by culture today. See, and the culture during that time was that, hey, we got a new frontier here, mm-hmm. and we need to build this country. We need to cultivate this country. So what we need to do is just, you know, get us some people and put them on, you know, indentured slave, more or less, and let's work them. Why not ask them? Why not permit them to have some input in this here?
Right.
Huh? Is that the Bible way?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the Bible way.
And absolutely.
And I think the Bible teaches us that God give every man the right to make choices.
Yes,
and to deny me the right to make a choice, it goes against everything that our God has given us in the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Liberty to choose, my brother.
Yeah.
Kevin, let's get ready. We'll sum it up here, my brother. Come on, say something
here.
We just kind of touched on a few. Now, next week, hopefully we'll look at a few blacks. I want a few blacks that have made so much
contribution to this. I mean.
And coming out of that. Coming out of that.
In
the midst of it at the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kevin, go ahead, brother.
That's what John Wesley, a white preacher, said. He said, give liberty to whom liberty is due.
Okay.
That is to every child of man, to every partaker of human nature. But what you just said, Pastor, let none serve you but by his own act and deed, by his voluntary action.
Willingly.
That was his attitude, but... We, Pastor, I'm talking about black folks. We're so blinded by what we've been fed and propaganda about slavery. It was a hurtful time.
Sure it was.
And it did happen.
It did happen.
But we would be really irrational to say that there was no white people that was that was against slavery. But I wanna give you a nugget here.
Okay,
you
know, come on. Give us a nugget.
We go way back in the 1800s about slavery.
Yes, yes.
And we as black people are hung up about slavery.
Sure, we are.
But
we're
still hung up. Yes. If you condone abortion, you just as bad as the slave master. If you condone abortion, you are a hypocrite because you're just as bad. You're just as bad as selling the black folks on the auction block.
Yes,
not
Lord.
Seeing that child as a person.
Good
if you
Lord
are normalizing homosexual Good behavior. God, man. It's killing black folks.
Yes, Lord.
More than
yes,
it Lord. Ever did slavery.
Yes,
you
Lord.
You are a hypocrite.
Good Lord Almighty.
But you'll go back to the 1800s and talk about how black folks been done
held,
so bad.
Held back. Yes, yes.
That's something to think about. You really, in my opinion, have a right to even talk about slavery and how we were wronged.
Yes.
If you are supporting homosexual behavior.
Yes.
If you are... you are supporting pro-choice.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen.
Brother,
Tony?
Brother, you that'll preach. I'm telling you.
That will preach
now,
on
and
it.
I agree with that every
preach.
Word that except has. One.
Uh-huh.
You said condoning. I go a step further and say, if you don't speak out against it.
Amen. Mm.
Okay.
If you don't speak out against it, the Bible said, thou shalt not.
Mm-hmm.
If
Amen.
You don't have the boldness to stand up and say what God, your creator has already made clear, then you are worse than the slave master.
Oh, praise God.
You are worse than the slave master.
You'll speak out against him,
though.
You will, every time.
Yeah.
And what we are today, people, we have been taught, we've been handed a crutch. We have a generational Reddit excuse
for
why I'm not where I want to be or where I should be.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm 39 and ain't never had a job nowhere, and, you know, and still living mom and them basement. And yeah, I'm on probation because I stole 10 TVs and a VCR. None of that has anything to do with it. It's the man and what he did to my grandparents that I never met, that I have no idea who. I've never been in a place where I couldn't go and come when I wanted to.
Amen.
Where I couldn't. Now, the fact that I didn't take my education seriously, I didn't finish school or any of that has bearings on what I can. Did Amen. I make myself hireable? Mm-hmm. Did I make myself desirable in that market that affords me the things
the
I like?
Opportunities, right.
Did I do that? Because all that plays a part in it.
Mm.
Amen.
All that plays a part in it. And even still, hell, if you decide that the educational system and getting them masters and MDs and DDs wasn't your thing, learn how to do something, make yourself viable, and work by the sweat of your brow. You should eat your bread.
Amen.
And all this stuff in the 1800s and 1900s, as bad as it was.
But today, even today.
It wouldn't be your excuse today.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Milt, good, praise God.
Good. That's a preach, brother.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Well, next time, I want you to speak your mind, okay? Go ahead.
I thank God, man. But because, you know, as we study this and, we look back, you know, the 1700s, 1800s.
Yes, yes.
And how God had a plan
all the time,
you know, to use these different white people,
yes,
to help black people. I mean, to bring them out of the bondage and slavery.
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, even that, even though they may not have been a president or a governor,
mm-hmm.
but these common people,
right, right,
that stood their ground, you know, and was used by God, and people are being used today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just want our listeners out there, like Minister Kevin said a lot of times, give us some feedback.
Yeah,
you know,
amen.
If you follow the broadcast,
praise God.
You know, give us some feedback on how you feel, how you
say. Amen.
But my main thing is, mm-hmm. I want our people to have a forgiving heart.
Yes, amen. Yes.
And look at it with spiritual eyes.
Yes, that's good.
Spiritual eyes, as Pastor said.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side?
Yeah. Mm.
Let him come on over here. Amen? Amen. We stand on the word of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this subject that you placed upon our hearts. Now, Lord, we pray for healing for the hearts that are hurt, Lord.
Yes,
hurt
Lord.
For not for the slavery they endured, but the slavery that our great-great-great-grandparents endured.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that we'll get past this here.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, look at the injustices today.
Mm-hmm.
Look
at
the things that we're looking past today and not addressing but running away from them.
Yes,
let us stand firm. Help us to stand firm for what is right, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For you are righteous,
you
God.
Are,
and Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.